Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Patrick Come Lately Talk Radio. This is Stefan, your host, British by birth, American by choice. The Founding Fathers crafted some remarkable documents that led to the creation of a great country founded on liberty and self-reliance. I have lived in the Euro-socialist nightmare, and I'm doing what I can to return this country to the vision that the Founding Fathers gave us. We need to strive to rebuild that shining city on the hill, for without us, the world has nowhere to turn for freedom. For the next hour, I will be presenting news, views, and guests that help keep the true spirit of America alive.
And good evening, good afternoon, good morning, wherever, whenever you're listening to this show. This is Stefan, your patriot come lately, British by birth, American by choice, and proud to be presenting episode 145 to you. Tonight we have a guest. This is going to be a very interesting show, I'm sure. I'm talking about a constitutional amendment that is being put forward. But before we get to the guest, I do want to handle some quick items of news. If you haven't seen it already, get out onto the net, get onto the cable TV, well, Fox News mainly. I don't think you'll see it on the other channels. The right-to-work bill was passed in Michigan, but this afternoon there was some violence at the state house with the union thugs there attacking right-wing conservatives. And it's interesting, isn't it, with these situations.
This is Patrick Come Lately Talk Radio, keeping the spirit of America alive, a proud member of the Red State Talk Radio Network.
Yes, I still haven't fixed my little...
Thank you for listening to the show. I hope that you enjoyed tonight's topics.
No.
Whether you
no.
listened live, to a recording, or to a rebroadcast.
Few problems there with the audio. Sorry about that. I was just saying the left always reflects really what they think they would like to do themselves, and then says that the Republicans, the conservatives, do it. They've always accused the Tea Party of tremendous amounts of violence. Yet, have you ever seen a Tea Party meeting where there's been violence like took place today? And as I said, if you haven't seen it, go out onto YouTube. There's lots of videos out there, Twitter, Facebook, and obviously the cable news channels. So that just shows you how bad they are, and another good reason why we do have to get rid of the unions. Second item that I wanted to mention before we go to our guest is the fact that it has now been announced that King Barry will have a private swearing-in ceremony on Sunday, the 20th of January, because it is a Sunday, and then the actual inauguration is going to be on the Monday, because that's the kind of the public holiday that the federal workers get. There will be no press at this private swearing-in ceremony, and I sort of say, well, what's he got to hide? Why does it have to be private? Why no press? And then I suddenly remembered King Barry also had a private swearing-in ceremony, because apparently Roberts or he flubbed something on the official one in 2009, his first swearing-in ceremony. So he also had a private one with no press. So what's he hiding? What's he actually swearing to when he takes that second private swearing-in ceremony, and why does he have to have another private one? Something very fishy there. Now, we all know he probably changes the oath so that he's not swearing allegiance to the Constitution, because he doesn't follow the Constitution. But very interesting that he chooses to do that in private, and he's too cowardly to do it out in the open. Oh. Okay, and my apologies for that. Let my let my emotions get away with me. Just one final reminder, there will be no Patrick Comelately show next week. I will be out of the country, so I'm able to run the show. So my next show will actually be on Christmas Day. So Christmas Day, not Christmas Eve, but Christmas Day this year. So look forward to talking to you then. I don't know if I'm going to do anything special. We'll see what happens between then and now. We might have something special. We may have so much news. Who knows what will be going on. Okay, in the meanwhile, I've kept my guest waiting for way too long. As I said in my invitations, I'm having someone on the show today who is putting forward a suggestion to have a new constitutional amendment. He started a movement to do that. His name is John Niewiecki. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. And the amendment is called the Mandate Amendment. So I'm going to bring him into the show and ask him to tell us all about it. So hopefully, if Blog Talk Radio goes well, John, hopefully you heard that introduction. Welcome to the show.
Stefan, thank you so much for having me on the show.
I'm very pleased to have you. And as I said in the introduction, the Mandate Amendment. So go ahead, tell us all about this new suggested constitutional amendment.
Well, the amendment to the Constitution is an effort by people for whom believe that the foundation of America is based upon a person's right to their own self-destiny. And part of being able to do that is obviously and self-evidently the right to purchase or not purchase products and services of their fellow citizens. These aren't even entities. These are non-governmental entities. These aren't. This isn't like Social Security or other facets of government. This is forcing a citizen to purchase their neighbor's products by the use of coercive power of government. And we believe, and we know, that when you combine the coercive power of government with the money-making power of corporations, there's really nothing, there's no limit to government power. And I do recognize that there is probably a fair group of people out there for whom believe that the momentum towards this in our country could do some good. Particularly, as you mentioned on your website for the radio show, specifically this addresses the issue of Obamacare. And fair people can claim that Obamacare is an effort to bring health care to those for whom cannot afford it. But it's precedent that's the problem, not the intentions of those who are bringing it forward. And the precedent that's being presented by the Roberts decision and Obamacare is that government has the power to force American citizens to purchase the products and services of a private company. So no matter what good people think they're doing by doing that, the precedent, once the precedent is set, there's no limit, there's no means of controlling how that precedent is applied. And so I caution, and we are cautioning our country, that this precedent is a huge danger to our country. Whether you're a Republican, a Green Party person, a Democrat, a socialist, for whom, whatever, whoever you are, there, it's hard to imagine that you believe, or not you personally, but those people believe, that the combining of those two huge power sources in our country, corporations and government, them combining their power to impose their will upon us, is unimaginable that somebody could possibly think that's a good idea. And so this amendment there'll be coalitions that'll be brought, hopefully, in each state to bring this to fruition. And the amendment would read, it's very simply, one line, Congress shall make no law mandating the purchase of a product or service from a private company. This is no threat to the pseudo-socialized programs we have today, like Medicare and Medicaid. It is simply addressing the combining of corporations and governments to force people to purchase the products and services of a private company. And we believe that this effort is, although difficult, it's something that is achievable and something that just simply has to be done, because the world that we'll leave to our children and our grandchildren will be very different from the world we have today if we do not.
And I'd like to add in there, you mentioned about this confluence of government and industry. You know, this is something which we in Europe saw once before in the 30s, both in Italy and in Germany. So there are a lot of dangers in that, and it's one of the reasons why I wanted to give you a voice, because I it's a slippery slope, and I don't think we should be going down that slope.
Right, right. I like to refer to it as corporatism. Fascism has a spin to it of nationalism and racism, which I do not believe is a part of this effort among those who support it. But corporatism, without question, is the result of what's happening with the movement towards this combining of government and corporate power.
Yes, and I agree. You know, we're maybe not as bad as Germany in the 30s, but still, you know, one important aspect that people forget about Germany, you know, was that tremendous sort of, working together of government and big business. And you think about companies like Volkswagen, and you think Bayer Chemicals, you know, so many of those big German companies that still exist today were also very much in bed with the government at that time, and in a way directed by, and but also profited a lot from you know, working very closely with the government, much like GE does today as well. It's
exactly right.
That's also a good example.
Exactly right. Exactly right. And too big to fail. Consider that phrase, too big to fail. Would failure be any different if it was a smaller company? Should we not give people the freedom and the right to fail at what they do? It's an unbelievably bizarre concept that we should pay for the failures of others, thinking that they won't learn or society won't grow if we don't allow failures to happen. It's very hard to imagine. And many of the people who advocate for these types of programs also, their battle cry, their entire foundation of their platform is equality under the law. Well, how could you possibly advocate for equality of the law if somebody is not equal in their right to fail at their endeavors,
right,
as well as to succeed? It's such an oxymoron. It's such a contradiction. Yet nobody out there right now is advocating for this, and we feel that the Mandate Amendment underscores the ethics of American values and shows that those of us who stand for those American values stand for everybody, not the corporations, not for government, not for anyone in particular, but everyone equally. And it underscores the fact that those who would oppose it are not, and they can't, because there's no way that anyone can possibly say that a corporation is too big to fail, but we are actually equal under the law. If we're equal under the law, then I have just as much right to not bail someone out as you or someone has a right to bail them out. And to force someone to do someone is, in fact, inequality under the law.
Yeah.
And so we believe it frames the argument perfectly. It establishes a trajectory back to American values that this country so desperately needs. And we feel that we will succeed.
Well, before I move on to exactly what you're doing, where you stand today, you know, what the expectations are for the short and longer term, let me first of all just play devil's advocate a little bit here, John.
Sure.
And say, okay, so this mandate sounds very good. You know, can't force people to buy a private product, so the government can't do that. What about, though, would that then automatically kind of make something like compulsory car insurance that the government forces on us, would that make it unconstitutional? Is that covered by what you're proposing?
That's an excellent question. I'll take it in two parts. The first part is that I believe the people who are presently working at this grassroots effort believe that it's not the right of government to force people to purchase the products and services of a private company, whether it be, it's un-American, whether it be a state doing it or whether the federal government is doing it. But, Stephen, consider how far this country has gone from its founding principles. We have, they cannot even pass common sense legislation to reform the disaster that we know. It may not be 20 years from now, may not be 20, 30 years from now, or 35 years from now, but eventually Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid are going to destroy this country. And there's really no question about that. It's only a question of when. And common sense legislation being posed previously was shot down due to the overly emotional and illogical arguments of people for whom advocate for those programs. So we understand that even though at a state level it's un-American to force Americans to purchase the products and services of their neighbors' companies, this country has come so far from that point that passing an amendment that would address that issue is simply too far. This country's ethics have been so destroyed that that's simply not possible. But we are laying the framework for the future, for future generations to turn back the tide and to move closer towards that goal for future generations to make that step if they want to do it. But this effort, as opposed to us moving further away from the goal so far by allowing the mandate of Obamacare to stand, we would move so far from that goal and the systems and the dependency and the bureaucracy that would be built for future generations. It'll be as possible to reverse or even reform as Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid is today, which is nearly impossible. We'll be leaving an impossible situation for our children to address, and the limit of corporations and governments to force people to buy things and do things will be limitless. If you're a socialist, if you're a Democrat, that should scare you to death. If Bush and an oil man is in the presidency and he has both houses of Congress, consider if you're a Democrat what he could do if he chose to tax alternative fuels to the point where you could only buy oil. And if you think that can't happen, you're fooling yourself. That is a precedent the people on the left are advocating for, and they don't care. And either that or they're too ignorant to know about it. So that's one point. And then the second point is that as the amendment reads, it reads Congress shall make no law. So this does not address the states. It's only stating that Congress shall make no law mandating the purchase of a product or service from a private company. I live in Massachusetts. We have mandatory everything, health insurance, and car insurance. But it would not affect Massachusetts. Massachusetts could be the little microcosm of a laboratory for this type of thing, and if other states were crazy enough to take it up, they could. It doesn't address that point. It only says that the federal government cannot combine with corporations to force the entire country to purchase the products and services of a private company.
I have a question around that, and then you almost touched on where I was going to go, but we're coming up to one of my first breaks. So I think one of the big differences, before we go into that break, just one of the big differences I think, between car insurance, and like I said, I was paying devil's advocate, but the big thing between car insurance and I think the healthcare is that we have a lot more choice in car insurance, which we don't have, and I don't think the progressives intend us to have in healthcare. But I'm just going to put you on hold for about a minute and a half, John, and then we'll get right back, the guys say, after these messages.
Thank you.
So just a quick, first of all, a quick conservative minute from Doc White.
Doc White here of the Conservative Underground Show with this week's Conservative Minute.
I am a conservative. I believe in you and your talents and abilities to provide for yourself more than any federal government program. I also believe that our Constitution guarantees each of us certain God-given natural rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I believe that when government grows beyond the consent of the governed, even with good intentions, our natural rights erode at the expense of the federal establishment. When that happens, we the people lose. We not only lose our freedoms and our desires to provide for ourselves, but we lose what makes the United States of America unique among all nations on the earth. The class warfare must stop. Government under Obama is driving a wedge between us. We are better than that and should not fall prey to fear and envy. Listen to the Conservative Underground Show at theconservativeundergroundshow.podomatic.com.
It's time for some common sense. From Central Florida, it's the Freedom's Wing Show, your home for patriotic resistance and the information you need to take action.
Hi, I'm Diane, host of the Freedom's Wing Show. Do you want to be entertained while you're informed? Do you like a little irreverence in your politics? Then join me on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time and Saturdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. There's plenty of open lines, and I want to hear from you. Check out the website at freedomswingspolitics.com, and you can find the show at www.blogtalkradio.com/freedomswings.
This is Patrick Cumlately Talk Radio, coming to you live via the internet, via rebroadcast on WRSDB, the Red State Talk Radio Network, or from the recordings at archives.patrickcumlately.us. And we're back in the show, and I'm talking with John Nowicki, who's put forward the mandate amendment, basically saying that the government is not allowed to force us to buy anything of a private company. And John, before the break, I said there was one thing I wanted to discuss, and you mentioned that it would probably. This amendment doesn't affect the states, obviously. You have right, the independence of the states, and so they can do what they like. But I was thinking with this, well, suppose this amendment goes through, wouldn't it be possible for the government then to say, that's fine, okay, so we won't mandate it, but let's go to the states, and if they want their Medicare, Medicaid money, they have to mandate insurance. Otherwise, they don't get the money.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a very good point. You know, part of the issue that you run into is that you do have that kind of loopholes. But the point is to underscore what exactly the government is doing by virtue of passing Obamacare and upholding the mandate. And we believe that by passing this amendment, when it passes, the Congress in a supermajority, the point will be made that such precedents need to be stopped. And the part of the problem that we have today is that Republicans, I must confess, I'm not a Republican. Republicans are really, many of them, are Democrat-like politicians for whom are accepting the framing of the discussion that the Democrats use because they want the ability to do what the Democrats do. They just don't want to do it to the extent that it happens. Hence, the Romney option, for whom is, of course, the godfather of Romney Care here in Massachusetts. And ethically, really, in regard to governance, really no different than Obama. Hence the reason why you really couldn't go after Obama about the core issues for which most common sense people find abhorrent. And so by virtue of framing this argument and perpetuating this common sense understanding of the separation between government and corporations, we believe that upon passing it with a supermajority in both houses, that the option to tax or remove Medicare funding to states in order to impose the government's will upon them would be such a stretch that I don't believe that. But again, it returns back to the initial, what I had said in the first portion of the show, Stephen, and that is that this, we recognize that this amendment doesn't go far enough to completely settle us back into the principles our country was founded. It simply lays a very strong foundation and ends this horrible trajectory towards corporatism that we're seeing in our country today. It lays the framework so that our children do not have to work from so far behind the goal line it's almost impossible to see it or even achieve it. And that's, goals need to be achievable, and this is a very difficult goal, I will admit it from the outset, but it's achievable. And to me, that's the most important kind of goals that anyone can set. And I truly believe that the people who are associated with this effort will be viewed in history as the first real statespeople of our century. I really do. I think it'll be in history books, and their children and their great-grandchildren and their great-great-grandchildren will talk about how they saved this country from corporations and government virtually being able to force people to do any whim they see and can bill as being quote-unquote necessary for the common good.
Well, that, and as I said, some of my questions definitely going to be devil's advocate type questions.
Oh, I love them. They're great.
That's I like the argument, and I think I think you're right. It does stop that slide, and again, based on the Constitution, if this were passed, it's unlikely to be passed before Obamacare is fully enacted, and therefore it'd be difficult to kind of reverse it just based on this amendment. But the amendment would set the tone for the future and stop anything bad happening in the future, I believe. Correct?
Well, I don't know. It is correct that really we're looking at a 4-year time frame for passing it. We know that this country cannot thrive under a socialized system, that it's already evident from Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid that these programs cannot fund themselves. And so, I agree that Obamacare is pretty much a done deal, unfortunately, in our country. But we can stem the precedent, and when in 4 years, when people look back and Democrats no longer have the excuse to blame the prior administration, they could blame the prior administration, but it'd be the same administration that was in office upon the next election. So that might be a little tough that canard will be set aside, and people will be looking for an alternative, and we can only hope that the Republicans come to their senses, those in the primaries will come to their senses and realize that they need to establish a candidate for whom truly believes in American principles and can stand up for them. I mean, think about the contrast of Ronald Reagan and Jimmy Carter. When Jimmy Carter was elected, this country was just as divided as it is today. Think about it. 4 years before Reagan and Carter went head-to-head in a presidential duel, Carter was elected. So at least 51% or some higher than 50% majority voted in favor of Carter, a person who ran on a very much a positive status platform. 4 years later, very short 4 years later, Reagan came. But Reagan didn't go and say, well, gee, you know, the socialist programs that Carter is saying is okay for the states, but it's not okay for the federal government, and do this kind of, I don't know how to say it nicely over the radio, but this halfway attack on this un-American principle that this person is advocating. Reagan went right for the throat. He said, government isn't the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. And on that platform, he crushed Carter, an incumbent president, which is very difficult. He crushed him. And then Dukakis, same thing. He even won Massachusetts for where Dukakis came from. So we can only hope that the Republicans come to their senses and realize that the likes of Romney are not and allowing for a candidate for whom ethically is very similar to their opponent, that doing that, when given the choice between semi-socialism and socialism, and nobody standing up for the fact that both of them are ethically wrong and un-American, that they will lose. And so we think that the combination of establishing constituencies in all 50 states and getting awareness of this amendment together, along with the mess that we know this country is going to be in 4 years, is a perfect storm to get this passed and reverse it. And I agree, Stefan, that it seems like a huge, huge task and almost too good to be true, but it's the only chance. The repeal of the law or nullification is not enough. The repeal and nullification maintains the precedent. So all it does is postpone the inevitable and leave the fight for another day. And again, by advocating for, by not addressing the principle and allowing the argument to be framed the way Obama and the alike want it to be framed, you're going to lose. You might win a few battles, but you'll lose the war. This amendment is an attempt to win the war, and it will win the war. It will do it.
And that's great. So just very quickly in between, I do want to say hi to the folks in the chat room. I have a bunch of regulars again tonight, so thanks for coming there, folks. And they're having an interesting discussion amongst themselves, and they're reacting to some of these things. If you have any comments or questions, folks, you can type it in the chat room, and I will try to pass it on to John, or if you want to dial in, 917-889-9161 is the number, and we'll bring you in to comment or question, John. What I'd like to move on to, John, though, now, and I said, you know, in the first part of the show, also want to talk a bit about, you know, we've talked about what the amendment is, why we need it. What exactly is going on now? You have a website, so perhaps you'd like to tell the listeners about the website so we know where to go.
Absolutely. It's mandateamendment.com. If you Google Mandate Amendment, it'll be probably the first or 8 of the 10 hits in Google. We have a very active blog. We also can be found on Facebook, facebook.com/Mandate Amendment. Where you can really get up-to-date information about what's happening. We've gotten the endorsement of the Libertarian Party of Massachusetts. We're hoping to get resources from them. Press release will be going out shortly. And right now it's all about awareness and gathering a team. And then the next step is to find a champion. We've considered people like Walter Williams, for whom we know understand the necessity of this type of thing and have the intelligence and the skills to really help us to formulate this in regard to an operational mechanism. And then we'd like to move on to adding other organizations, the Cato Institute, Independent Women's Forum, the Heritage Society, anybody, any organization that recognizes this precedent is extremely bad for our country, and also understands that the only way to address this issue is to attack it at its core. And so operationally and in regard to awareness, those are the two resources your listeners can go to learn more about what we're doing and to sign up to at least get our newsletter, but ideally to start a chapter in their local area.
And I was going to say, what can our listeners do? I know on your blog, one of the most recent entries there was asking for winter soldiers, quoting Thomas Paine there from one of his pamphlets. So those are the places to go in order to find out how to help out, correct?
Yes, exactly right. And it's a blog, of course, so you can comment on any entries. We are very responsive in regard to questions. If you email info@mandateamendment.com or john@mandateamendment.com, I will address all your questions. If you obviously money helps. None of us have any money in a very poor economy where nobody's hiring. None of us are rich. We just love our country. And so in any way that people can help, it would be greatly appreciated. And again, all that contact information is also found on the website and also be found on the Facebook group.
Okay, yeah. And let's just quickly, I'd like to chat about the blog because there were some interesting posts on there. And as I said, the one with the famous quote from Thomas Paine about the winter soldiers, as against the summer patriots who sort of basically give up and go. And I like that quote because when the re-election of King Barry occurred, one of the things that I was saying, for us, it is like that deep, dark winter that Thomas Paine was writing about, the winter soldiers and Valley Forge and all that. And I may have an accent, but I know a little bit about it. And, I did say this is going to be our deep, dark winter. Ours may last 4 years, but very similar. And we will need winter soldiers who are prepared to continue to fight through and not give up and not just go home and say, okay, there's nothing I can do about it.
Right. And I understand. In that article written by Paul Roy, who's an amazing writer, an incredible patriot, and a person with such a passion for both his country and writing, I am so honored that he is part of this team. I can't even express my gratitude towards him and everyone on this team. But if you're a part of a liberty-based organization or any organization that's based on American principles, and you're wondering how this could happen, and you're looking out at the audience of your organization, and you're wondering why there's 300 people involved and not 30,000 people involved, as there should be, I believe it's because we're not doing something worth doing. Getting the likes of Romney elected, or here in Massachusetts, Scott Brown, these Democrat-like politicians, is a waste of time. You're taking what you assume to be good people, and I believe Scott Brown and Romney are good people. I question their ethics, but I believe in their heart they're good people. But you take good people and you put them into a system that is designed to be corrupt, for which now corporations can now combine their power with politicians to make citizens do whatever they want. You take people and put them into these corrupt systems, and they either have to become corrupt, they have to play the game, or they lose. So the only productive thing to do as a liberty-based organization, as individuals, it's important to choose a candidate and work as hard as you can for them. But as an organization, and particularly the Tea Party, it needs to be based upon principles that will not be compromised. This country is aching for an organization for which will not compromise their principles. And if you're a part of a liberty organization, I strongly encourage you, if it's not the mandate amendment, get behind term limits or get behind ranked voting. Get behind some issue that will change the system. Because, like I said, if you take good people and you put them in a corrupt system, they have to conform or they lose. And that's why I believe that liberty-type organizations, despite the horrible economy that we've had to deal with for now going on its 10th year, I mean, you have to include, you know, what's the difference between Bush and Obama? Really, it's only a question of degree. You know, both of them spent us into deficits. Both of them tried to socialize medicine in some way with Bush's prescription drug plan to seniors. Both of them bailed out corporations. You know, I mean, people try to take these fine differences between these two candidates and put a spotlight on these very minute differences as if they make a difference. But ethically, they're the same. And so that's the way, unfortunately, it's going to be. The only way to attract people into organizations is to reframe the argument with issues and to do something worth doing. Think about it. We worked 5.5 months, most of us, out of the year just to pay our taxes. And then we start to keep what we earn. And it's both parents that are working. So between two parents working all that time to pay their taxes, plus being with their children, plus doing the productive things we need to do to be a unit, to make ends meet, there's so little time to dedicate to something else. And if you're dedicating that time to get a Democrat-like politician into office that you pretty much know in the back of your mind, you may not admit it, we'll just go to Washington and stab you in the back anyhow. There are people like me who will do it because they'll do it because it's in their blood, it's their passion. But we need to get the people on the margin involved. And the only way you get people on the margin involved is by giving them something worth doing and let them and prove to them that what they're doing will live beyond their life for generations to come and make better for their family for years and years to come. And I believe the mandate amendment is right at the top of that list. But do something to that effect. And that's where I really believe there's one thing that I really believe is very, very important and missing in the liberty movement today.
Well, it's very good to hear your passion there, because I think that's one of the things that's been missing over the last few years, and I think to a certain extent the passion that was there in 2008. And to a certain extent, even in 2010, you know, for what people called the Tea Party thing, but it's just sort of being howled down. It's being pushed down. It's being ignored. And after a while, as I said, some of these people become summer patriots and just say, well, no, you know, we're just going to give up because it doesn't have any effect, and we just need to keep fighting on, and as you said, hopefully keep that passion going, and I commend you for that, John, because it's good to hear that there are people out there with that passion.
And that's how we get the Winter Soldiers to step up and start the fight, and so you know, that's the way it's done, is to let them know and do something worth doing, that they know that the time and the effort that they're putting into it is something more and bigger than them alone. And that's where we find our Winter Soldiers.
Yeah. Well, we can, but, ask them to be there. I'd almost say perhaps a little irreverently, but in the same way that George Washington did, and there were a lot that didn't stay at Valley Forge, but there were enough that were, and then they went on to be successful. So let's hope that we can do the same here with our campaigns. And just looking at the chat room quickly here, you know, the comment from Mary that the progressives are doing their best to discourage us, and they will continue to do that. And we just have to bite through and continue to fight.
That's right, exactly right. I mean, the enemy, of liberty is without question significantly empowered, particularly now. And they have, I mean, it's much easier to sell to a population that, look, just vote for me and I'll give you something for free. I'll make life easier for you. I'll make life so that you don't have to face the realities of life, the harsh realities of life. That's it's a fantastically wonderful emotion that everyone can appeal to, and it's so easily delivered, to stand up in front of people and say, look, you're adults, start acting like it. You need to be responsible for your own lives. Nobody's going to pick it up for you. And if you sacrifice your right to fail, you're sacrificing more than you can possibly imagine, and that means your own ability for self-determination and to reap the benefits of your mind and your efforts and your character. And that's a much harder message to sell. The left and the progressives and the socialists have a much easier message to deliver, a far more emotional message. And they, as emotional people, people who tend to make decisions on emotions and not on reason and logic, are inherently passionate people. So we need to find that passion in people who are not as prone towards making emotional pleas, and show them how to connect the rational aspects of logical principles that our country was founded, and how they can deliver those in a way in which, again, it's the I always focus on those people on the margin, those people on the edge who might help or might not help, that have 15 minutes to spare every week. They can sit there and finally relax in front of the TV and watch a half an hour thing, or they can dedicate it to something else. And they'd really like to sit in front of that TV and just shut up their brain for a little bit, because they're working 50 hours a week and they got to go play with the kids and they got to get them baseball practice. How are you going to earn that time? And you do it by showing them that there's something more important out there that's worth dedicating that time to, and to show them that not just the logical, but also the emotional aspects of and the importance of what we're doing. And that's part of what we're doing at the Mandate Amendment, is by showing them not only that this is a necessity, but it's something that people of all walks of life, no matter their race, creed, color, sexual orientation, anything, they can understand the logic behind this amendment and show them how to deliver that. And it'll be a reality.
Yeah. Okay, well, this is a good time to take my final break, so just hang on again, if you would, John, for a couple of minutes, and we'll go into the final segment.
I'd be happy to.
So just another quick break, folks. We'll be back.
The Freedom Swing Conservative Minute. On Monday of this week, union leaders are encouraging people to wear red shirts in support of workers. The thing that's really ludicrous about what the unions do in Michigan and in Wisconsin when right to work is up for a vote is they reveal how pathetic unions truly are. If you were something that people would want to be a part of, you wouldn't have to force them to be a part of you. The left tells us they're about pro-choice, but when it comes right down to it, they only want control, not to give you a choice. The Freedom's Wing Show supports right to work. You can listen live to the Freedom's Wing Show on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time and Saturdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time at www.blogtalkradio.com/freedomswings. You can also catch the rebroadcast at redstatetalkradio.com and ftrradio.com. And check out freedomswingspolitics.com for political analysis, news, wings gear, and much, much more.
The path to restoring our republic was laid down by our founding fathers. The principles of freedom, liberty, personal responsibility, and limited government are conservative ideals we will never abandon.
America is listening.
Grassroots. Common sense. Conservative talk radio. It's on the internet. Tune in now. Red State Talk Radio. Featuring some of the most popular internet talk show hosts in America today. Are you listening? RedStateTalkRadio.com.
This is Patrick Cumlately Talk Radio, coming to you live via the internet, via rebroadcast on WRSDB, the Red State Talk Radio Network, or from the recordings at archives.patrickcumlately.us. And we're back in the show. Thanks for sticking with us through the break. Just trying to get John back in here. John, so we're into the last 5 minutes of the show. I want to thank you for coming on. Really appreciate it. I think, as I said, I really commend you for your passion, and hopefully we can kind of keep that fire going. And with people like you throughout the country,
I'm sorry, you kind of broke up on me. I hope you can still hear me. Stefan, thank you so much for the opportunity to come on your show. It's patriots like you that really give a voice to people like me, and I can't thank you enough.
As I said, hopefully you can hear this a little more clearly, but thanks for being so passionate, and because you set an example for others, and you help us realize that there are things that we can do. Not we haven't lost all hope. Let's keep going and make sure that that at the end of the line that we do try to be those winter soldiers that we need, and continue to fight through this winter. And as I said, and you give us a great rallying cry, because I think that's what's missing a lot of the time. Everybody knows what they want, but we don't have anything to rally around. And this sounds like something that might be a great rallying cry. So I'm glad, to help spread the message.
I agree completely, and I encourage all your listeners to go to the Mandate Amendment website. There's a sign-up opportunity for our newsletter. We send out a newsletter once a month, generally, unless there's something major happening. It's only about the Mandate Amendment. There's no advertising. There's no we don't spam people. We will never give out your email account. You can opt out at any time, but I strongly encourage people to sign up and hear about our progress, and hopefully again join in to start chapters in their local area.
Okay, well, thanks for coming on, John. Lots of luck with this. Do feel free to email me if significant things happen. I'd love to mention them in the show, or if they're really big stuff, perhaps have you or someone else from the organization, which might be bigger by then, come back on and just tell us how things are going maybe a few months down the road.
We love the opportunity, Stefan. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thanks a lot for coming on. Good night.
Good night.
Okay, folks, that was a great phone with John. So if you've got the addresses, if you want to spread the word, please do. And it is an idea. It will perhaps help change people's ideas. There's a lot we need to do. I just want to mention one other thing. We are getting towards the end of the show, and I do want to say that one of the guests in the chat room right now, Rex or Edward Reapy, who's the author of the famous trilogy, the FEMA Camp trilogy, which is now expanded with a fourth book called Starvation Nation. Edward has kindly agreed to come on the show on New Year's Day, so this is the day after New Year's Eve. And he will be on the show. We're going to talk about Starvation Nation. It's another, I like to call it a rip-roaring adventure set out in the West. I hope he doesn't mind that I see it as sort of, a Western, but set in the future, where the baddies are really just are the Hussein Guard. And, of course, you can imagine which president is in power at that time in his books. But it's a rip-roaring adventure, so we'll be talking about that book and some of his other books as well. He's a very prolific writer, so you will see he's got other books as well. And he will be on January 1st, so note that one down. Like to see you all back then. So there was, I think, final question. Edward did say, does everyone think we have 4 years? I'm not sure whether we do, because it's also going to depend on the Supreme Court. If we lose any justices on the Supreme Court in these 4 years, then we could have a lot longer. I happen to know that the left already thinks that it's going to be a landslide for Hillary in 2016. They're already gearing up and getting all the ground game ready. And I'm not sure whether the Republicans are even doing that. They're still licking their wounds. We need to get our act together. And at a certain point, depending on what happens with the fiscal cliff and the new debt ceiling, the GOP may go the way of the Whigs, and we may end up with a new party in 2016. Who knows? So, anyway, folks, nice talking to you. Remember, next week, no show, I'm afraid. It's going to, I have to skip one, but we will talk again Christmas Eve. Hopefully, do join me then. And here's the music, so I say TTFN. Thanks for joining me, and remember, Christmas Eve. Sorry, not Christmas Eve, Christmas Day evening. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the show. I hope that you enjoyed tonight's topics. Whether you listened live, to a recording, or to a rebroadcast, I appreciate the time you share with me. We need to spread the message of liberty far and wide, so please tell your friends and family about the show. Thank you for helping to keep the beacon of hope burning. This is Stefan, your Patrick Come Lately, signing off. God bless America, and remember, L3, long live liberty.